Lord, let your light shine on our hearts. Let your glorious light shine. God, all of us turn to Jesus tonight. Thank you, God, when we look into your glory, we changed. We see everything differently. We look to you right now, Lord. Just put a hand on your heart. Just pray. Say, Father God, set this heart alight. Set a Holy Spirit fire in my heart. Fill me with your compassion. I surrender. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and touch every life. Yes, Lord, we pray that every one of us would fall in love with you again. May we return to our first love. Set these hearts alight. Set our lives on fire, God, that we may burn for you. Let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. Could you just maybe put a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you? Just want you to pray a blessing over them. Pray for them what you would pray for yourself. That God would light a fire in their hearts, that he would bring a revival and awakening. Come on, just for a few minutes, just pray life and blessing over them. Come, Holy Spirit. It's time for revival. It's time for an awakening. Let the army of God arise. Stir our hope. Stir our passion. Stir the fire within us, Lord. Remove the lid of limitation, of unbelief, of doubts and fears. Lord, release your heart and faith over us right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let's make a declaration. I like to make declarations. I like to take the truth of God's word and put it in my mouth. So let's stir our faith, our hope, our passion. It said, I have an expectation tonight. I have a great expectation tonight. A little bit more passion. Let's do it with a little bit more passion. Come on, you can do better. Let's say, I have a great expectation tonight. To meet with Jesus. I have an expectation. That my faith will be stirred. That my sight will be opened. And that I will hear the voice of my Savior. Speak to me. In Jesus' name. There's a revival here tonight. And it's starting in my heart. Come on, say it. It's starting in my heart. The Lord's lighting a fire in my heart. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus a clap offering. Come on, let's lift up our voices. Jesus! Revival is now. The kingdom is now. Your glory, God, fill this house. Fill this house. Hallelujah. Amen. Give someone a high five and say, God is moving. Amen. Lights. Okay, good evening. Okay, thanks for joining us tonight. Who wasn't here yesterday? Okay, whole bunch of new people. Welcome. Good to have you with us. There's so many times that Jesus would tell someone, let it be to you according to your faith. You know, there's a There's a big role that we can play. Yes, there's the sovereignty of God, but there's also such a big part that you and I can play. You know, like meetings like this, there's an outpouring of the Spirit happening here. And you must decide, in what way are you coming? Someone has said the fivefold ministry is like five fountains. Coca-Cola fountain, Fanta fountain, cream soda fountain, etc. Can't think of anything else now. So it's all soda, but they've got different flavors. And the fivefold ministry is the same. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of God, but they're different flavors, different purposes of the different anointings. And you can either come with a little tot glass, I'm going to fill up, or you can come with a bucket. And those who are really thirsty can come with a truck and say, fill me up, boyki. I want the whole deal. Your faith. I'm coming with an expectation. I'm not just coming to listen to someone. I'm coming to receive from Jesus an impartation. Just being in this house tonight, something can unlock in your life for you to flow in the healing anointing or any other anointing. So you must come with that expectation. Any book you read, any video you watch, that's how I operate. I'm like, Father, I honor the anointing on this man or woman's life, and I'm receiving from them in Jesus' name more than words, more than knowledge. I'm receiving an anointing. Amen. Let's say tonight. Thanks, Ross. Let's try that again. Tonight, I'm receiving an anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday morning, I spoke about the will of God. How can we know? Can we know the will of God when it comes to healing? And I answered that with, yes, you can. I believe it's always the will of God to heal. You must just come in contact with His power. Last night, I spoke about healing flows from the presence of God. And we need to live a presence-centered life. We need to learn how to position ourselves in these rivers of life. So I've been sharing about the five rivers. Just the diagram, if you can put the diagram on there. Okay, so I'm focusing on the apostolic flow. My book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, which you can get there at the back if you want to continue renewing your mind. And I've heard wonderful testimonies of people just starting to read the first few days of the book and how people are getting healed and the kingdom of God coming. Because there's an impartation through the book. So you're welcome to get it. If you want to renew your mind, there are declarations in it and truths to help you grow in faith. So the fivefold ministry, I believe there are five rivers. And I shared about that last night. Five rivers in the Spirit. If you position yourself in that river, then as Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers of living waters will flow forth from their inner being. So that is the invitation. Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers will flow forth from his inner being. But you need to position yourself in the anointing, in the presence, in the power of God. And then life will flow forth through you. I shared last night, first 10 years of ministry, I thought I was Spirit-filled. But I was not. 10 years of full-time ministry, for goodness sake, I was the pastor of the church. I thought I knew what the power and the presence of God was, but I did not. I had no idea of what God actually wants to do. And so I'm trusting that between yesterday and tonight that something in you would stir, a hunger would stir, a thirst would stir. Most of our breakthroughs came because of our thirst, often our desperation of challenges and crises in our lives. Like I had to decide either become bitter or go deeper. So I want to share with you tonight about how to go deeper. How to go deeper into those rivers. How to go deeper into these rivers of life. So the apostolic flow is an anointing to see the kingdom of God reign in our midst. The prophetic flow is hosting the presence of God, carrying the presence of God, like I shared last night. Our greatest honor as believers are to carry the very presence, the tangible presence of God, wherever we go. Then the pastoral flow, relationships flourish, teaching flow, word become flesh, and then evangelistic flow, souls win. I believe if all five rivers flow, in the local church, you will have sustainable revival. I believe that's my mission. That's my mandate from the Lord, my commission. The Lord said to me, make my bride beautiful for me. It's time for the bride of Christ to become beautiful again. Amen. It's time. The church is such a bad name in general, like, because there's so much dead religion. Dead religion freaks people out. Jesus freaks no one out. And so the fullness of Christ, as you see the top, Ephesians 4, if all five rivers are flowing, it will come to the fullness of Christ, because Jesus is the original apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And he went to heaven, he released his anointing on the people of God, and he's calling everybody, come deeper. Come deeper. Let's say it, I'm going deeper. I'm going deeper, I'm going deeper. That's the mission. But you need to be thirsty. So I want to kickstart this journey. If you're not on this journey yet, I want to provoke you. I want to provoke you to pursue God with everything within you. I really believe with all my heart, the arms of God is wide open. It's like the whosoever. It's not decided yet. It's not decided what giftings we will have. It's not decided who's going to walk in the fullness of God. It's like who's thirsty, who's hungry, who's desperate. Who's pressing in? Who's walking faithfully with what God has already given? So that's what God wants to do. So let's say it. I'm thirsty. And getting more thirsty. Amen. Amen. Come on, God. There's a reformation happening in the body of Christ currently. A reformation. And it's our invitation to be part of this. I believe God, I was so psyched after last night. I was like, holy Jesus, this church is ready to explode. Amen. In a good way, in a good way. What I want to share with you tonight is basically this. If we miss the heart of God, we miss everything. I see this so often. People who are passionate about miracles, signs and wonders, or whatever else. They're so passionate about something that they forget to represent Jesus well. And so often, I remember some these times, I'm like, I'm after another miracle. I'm after another miracle, and I missed the person that needs the love of Jesus standing right in front of me. And I believe this is the heart of God. He wants us to represent Him well. If we miss the heart of God, we miss everything. There are so many Christians so passionate about theology that they forget to love the person they're fighting with about their point. You see, it's not about being right. It's about being Christ-like. I sometimes want to tell some husbands, yeah, good, good. Okay, you're right. You're right. But you're going to sleep cold and lonely for a very long time. And I am not willing to sleep cold and lonely at night. I will humble myself. Amen. Our relationships are more important than anything else. If our relationships fail, everything else unravels. But I believe there's such a beautiful, the Lord is highlighting these truths to us again. It breaks my heart when churches and church leaders misrepresent Christ. And so I don't know what your background is, but I just want to apologize on behalf of any church leader in all of your days or any other Christian that has misrepresented the heart of God. I want to apologize. That probably wasn't their heart. They just missed God's heart. You know, because it's something that happens when we get hurt in church. It brings a disillusionment on the inside. And so a while ago, I was super disillusioned. Super disillusioned. And I was down and I was heavy. I felt heavy laden. I was like, I can't connect to Jesus. I'm at the cell group, small group. And I'm trying, I'm worshiping. And at some point, the Lord spoke to me and He said to me, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking at man and not at me. I'm like, Jesus, the only reason? But yes, the only reason. The only reason. The only reason we get disillusioned is when we look away from Jesus. And we were in the UK a while ago, and we saw this vision of a bride in a wheelchair. And before that, I saw a vision of this beautiful bride standing and looking at the majesty of God. And she looked so strong and lovely and beautiful. And then at some point, she looked away from her Savior. And she lost her strength and she went into the wheelchair. I believe that's the bride of Christ. We've looked away from Jesus. We've looked away from His beauty and His wonderful, His glory, His awesomeness into all the other things of life. And Jesus is calling us back. Look into His eyes. Just look into who He is. It changes everything. It changes everything. You know, so I really want to encourage you, forgive if someone has hurt you, disappointed you. Forgive, let go, and look into the eyes of Jesus. Do you know what has been our greatest breakthroughs? It's been bad things. Bad things that's happened. Persecution, issues. I'll share about that. Things that we have gone through. And every time I have to decide, am I going to be bitter or am I going to go deeper into Jesus and become better? We were in Argentina 2 years ago. And we had an open air outreach, like I think 400 or so people per night. And I had to do the altar call. There was like this passion play of the crucifixion scene, 400-500 people per night. And so I had to do the altar call to call people forward. And I think it was the second night. My heart was just breaking. So I did this altar call, but I was just weeping. I was like, I hope someone can understand, translator. And I was just weeping and weeping and weeping. Because I saw the heart of the Father. I experienced the heart of the Father for these lost sheep. And then, I think about 75% of those people came forward to give their lives to Jesus. There were people walking past 2 blocks away who came back because the Holy Spirit drew them back and they committed their lives to Jesus. We led an 89-year-old Roman Catholic lady to Christ. Whole families committing their lives to Jesus. But I remember like this compassion was just overwhelming me. And I tell you, when you have compassion, the anointing falls. And so that one night, you know, God was healing people and people being set free and wonderful things were happening. But there was this little boy, 4-year-old boy. He couldn't walk. Beautiful little boy. He couldn't walk. And so now I'm praying for him and trusting that Jesus would heal him. He wasn't healed. But you know, every time I think I spent like a long time and his mom was holding him and they were trusting that Jesus would heal him. And every now and again he would say, I can walk. I can walk. And then he would try. But it broke my heart. Because I knew if you are here, this boy would walk. This boy would walk. You know, I've had so many moments that night. You know, 75% of the people committed their lives to Jesus. Miracles were happening. Things were happening. We were driving back to the place we were staying. All I could remember was the little boy. So I was in the car. We're driving. And I'm weeping. I'm weeping. And then I'm laughing. Like, thank you, Jesus, what you've done. And then I remember the boy. And then I'm crying again. And so the next day, we're in our team meeting, missions team meeting. And we're just worshiping and praying. I was so hungry for more of Jesus. I was so hungry for more of Jesus. And at that moment, I had my first serious God encounter in all of my 20 years of walking with Jesus. I had just this God encounter. Something happened there. An upgrade happened there. You see, sometimes you need a God encounter. It doesn't need to be something dramatic on the outside. Sometimes it can just be you're reading the scriptures, but you're hungry. You're thirsty for more of God. And then suddenly, a Jesus encounter. The lights go on. And you go next level. You need a God encounter. One God encounter will change you for life. Amen. Let's say I'm thirsty for a God encounter. Amen. Amen. So our hearts need to break for people. It's not about the miracles per se. It's about loving people. The time of the Church of Jesus Christ misrepresenting Jesus is over. If I'm close, and I'm trusting when you're close, and I know with Ross, I mean, known by our love. That is it. That is it. We must be known by our love. So how do you go deeper? I want to read this verse. Ezekiel 47, verse 3 to 5. This is fascinating. So Ezekiel is having this God encounter. He saw into the spirit. He saw spirit realities, which are superior realities to the natural. That's why it's called supernatural. It is superior. If something happens in the spirit, it changes the natural realm. Now look at this. It says, and when the man went up to the east with a lion in his hand, this is an angel. He had a lion in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist, to a river that became too deep that one has to swim in. So there's an angel that measures out, and then he brought him through. I believe this is how God works with us. He comes to you. He determines where are you at. Are you ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or outside? And then God comes and he measures out your journey of growth. And then he brings you through. And then he measures it out again. And then he brings you through. That's how God works. And so he's asking us to partner with him. He wants to take you deeper. The question is, are you going to partner with him? What is the best way to go deeper? A crisis. Because then you're uncomfortable, and you have to decide bitter or better, bitter or deeper. That's how the Lord has worked with us many, many times. So the first time I experienced the spirit reality was in 2014. We were in India. A long line of people in front of me. I need to pray for them. They're sick. And I would pray, I would ask, Holy Spirit, come. And then suddenly I felt my toes begin to tingle with the presence of God. I was like, what is this? And when my toes tingle, I would pray for someone, and 8 or 9 out of 10 people were healed, at least partially healed. And I was after, Lord, what is this? What does this mean? And I realized I am officially now toe deep in the spirit. Just toe deep. Pastor for 10 plus years. I am now toe deep. Welcome. The kingdom has just started now. And then a year later, we were in Argentina. I felt the presence of God up to my knees. As I'm standing in a river. It was amazing. It was awesome. We were next level miracles were happening, as I shared last night. And then after Argentina, came back to South Africa, I had a crisis. What is the purpose of a crisis? Better or better, going deeper. The purpose of a crisis is to go deeper. I have found everything that the devil brings against you is a setup to be blessed. I've heard it said that if the devil would ever write an autobiography, it would be called, It Backfired Again. Amen. I have experienced that. That is the heart of the apostolic anointing, is the more pressure you pile on, the deeper I go into the spirit. Look at the life of Paul. It is time for the apostolic flow. Nothing steals our joy. Nothing steals our faith. Nothing steals our peace. I'm going deeper. So we had a crisis, an opportunity to go deeper. I was in Argentina. We had an awesome week of ministry. And on the last day, we went to the airport, 7 of us. We were like high-fiving. Oh, miracles. God was moving. It's awesome. And one of my elders was a kid joking with me, saying, you're like a bit of a wuss, eh? You and your little money belt, eh? Your passport and your money belt. You know, I'm a man. I don't do that. It's like, okay, fine. So I took my passport, everything. I put it in my bag. So now, We're sitting at this coffee shop 20 minutes before we have to go through the gates at the airport. I put my bag down against my leg. We're laughing, we're joking. A minute later, something's wrong. My bag's gone. Passport, money, everything. I'm running around like a crazy man on the airport. Jesus! Now I'm fighting with the Lord. Jesus, you've been speaking to me this whole week. Prophetic words and words of knowledge. Why didn't you tell me? Hold on to the bag. I'm like, Jesus. And the Lord told me, I have a plan. I said, this plan sucks. It was terrible. The team leaves. One lady stays behind. I tell you, I'm like, I feel horrible. It's like my whole life is suddenly chaos. Biggest shock of my life. Now I go back to the pastor's house. Around 11 o'clock that night, I feel so oppressed. I feel such demonic activity. I feel horrible. The Lord says to me, I want to set you and your wife free from fear. I want to set you free. I can't take you forward unless you deal with this. So 11 o'clock that night, I hear a voice, a demonic voice tell me, now I'm going to torment you. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So now I'm in my room from 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock that night, worshiping, dancing, trying everything. I feel like I feel horrible. I get this word out of, the Lord takes me to the book of Genesis about Jacob, where it says, and Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled with the Lord until daybreak. And the Lord said, that's you. My second name is Jacobus, Jacob. So I'm like, now I'm wrestling with the Lord through the night. And I'm like, I feel so horrible. Around 3 o'clock, I have the biggest breakthrough, the biggest encounter I've ever had with God. I was lying on the bed. Next moment, my eyes are closed. Next moment, I see myself walking into heaven, into the throne room of heaven. I saw like the sea of glass. You go look in the book of Revelation, speaks with the sea of glass. I saw like a sea of glass opening up. And then I saw like a rainbow, and I saw like God is seated, enthroned on his throne. And I heard the voice of the Father saying, now ask me to bless you. So I'm like, Jesus, bless me. Lord, give me South America. God, give me everything. I want everything. I'm like, God, give it to me. Give it to me. And the Lord unlocked things there that opened Brazil for us. And I didn't sleep for 50 hours. And then for the next, we went through hell, worst term of our lives. I didn't sleep for about 2 weeks. My wife didn't sleep for about 9 weeks. It was bad. I was worshiping and praying day and night, wanting to break through, trusting to break through. In that time, the Lord set us free and delivered us of a whole bunch of things. But I started off toe deep in India, Argentina knee deep. And then about 7 weeks into the sleep, this thing that my wife can't sleep and a lot of fear and things that's being sorted in her heart, I posted on a national pastor's WhatsApp group and I post, guys, my wife isn't sleeping for like 7 weeks. I'm going to pray for her now. Would you please stand with me in the spirit? Agree with me. I'm going to trust God to touch her now, to set her free. 10 minutes later, I feel the presence of God flood into my office so much that my ears begin to tingle. I am ear deep in the river. The Lord dunked me, whew, in the deep side. I shout down the hallway, Sonica, come. It's now time. I must pray for you now. So we prayed for about an hour and she broke through and that night she slept. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. So point being, the different levels in the spirit. And every crisis is your opportunity, it's your setup to have more of God. Do you know what I see? Every crisis most Christians experience becomes their place of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger, disillusionment, disappointment. And I had to face it every time. I'm not gonna be disillusioned. This is my invitation. Devil is gonna backfire on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say a devil is gonna backfire on you. Amen. Amen. Our God is so big that even when the enemy comes against us, the Lord will turn it around for his glory. Amen. It's the only way. We like our comfort. When we're uncomfortable, it's our opportunity to go deeper. So let's go deeper. Amen. Okay, so there's different levels or measures in the Spirit. And God is calling us deeper. It's not just outside or inside the Spirit in the river. Go deeper. Okay, let's say it. I'm going deeper. Amen. So the healing ministry is a ministry of love, a ministry of compassion. And when our hearts break, the floodgates of heaven open up. You know, there was a four-year-old, before we went to Brazil, Manaus, middle last year, there was a four-year-old girl that had, she got meningitis, and she was declared brain dead. We spent a few days in that hospital ward praying for this child. You know, most people want to run away from death and pain and issues. But I knew I was there to experience the heart of God. You know, when we declared, the Lord told me she's not going to come back, and after a few days, the Lord told me they're going to put off the machines today. And so that night I went back, and you know, I saw that mom with her child lying on that bed, crying. Like, I tell you, I didn't think it's going to shock me as much, but I just knew the Lord saying, don't look away. Face it. Face the pain. Face the pain. The pain will take you deeper. The compassion will take you deeper. Do you know about what we do? We try and block it off, block it off, block it off. We run away. I run to the pain because I know it's my key. It's your key. It's your key to go deeper. So the healing ministry is not for sissies. You're going to cry. But it's good. It's not bad. We have an eternal hope. We never weep with hopelessness. We never weep with hopelessness. I always tell someone when they're not healed now, I tell them, even if you're not healed in this life, you will be in the next life. You will walk into heaven with a new body if you are a believer. Amen. So we have an eternal hope, but the pain and the disappointments and the challenges take us deeper. Go look at the scriptures. Go look at the moments where the men and the women of God encounter more of God. It's normally where there's a crisis, and they handled it right. So your crisis is your ticket to glory. Amen. Okay, so let's look at this. Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3. I want to share with you about healing to the whole man. It's such a profound passage. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Multitudes followed Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So the multitudes followed Jesus, but he wasn't focused on the multitudes. He was focused on the individual. He was focused on the lowest of the low. The leper was the lowest of the low. Leprosy is where your flesh rots. It stinks like rotting meat. The Old Testament, it says that the leper, wherever the leper goes, he must shout, unclean, unclean. The Bible says, the Old Testament, the leper had to be isolated and live on his own outside of the camp. And wherever he would go, he had to shout, unclean, unclean. The leper was the lowest of the low. The leper represented sin. The flesh rotting represents, that's what sin looks like on the inside. It's like a cancer on the inside. So interesting. The leper somehow knew Jesus can, but he was wondering about, is Jesus willing? And I just love Jesus' answer. He came to represent the fullness of the Father, and he said, I am willing. That is the will of God. Simple. I am willing. I am willing. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free from whatever you're facing. I want to set you free. And then, fascinating, Jesus doesn't just speak. You know, there's quite a few times where Jesus simply spoke. The centurion's servant, he just spoke and said, your servant is healed. With Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Why does Jesus touch him? Why? If he could just speak the word from a distance. Be healed. Why did he touch him? Why did he touch him? Because Jesus wasn't only wanting to heal his physical body. He wanted to heal his heart. He wanted to heal. I believe he wanted to heal his identity. That man experienced such rejection, such shame. And Jesus knew, I don't only want to heal you physically. I want to touch your heart. I want to show you, you are loved. You're valuable. You're precious. You know, one thing that changed for me becoming a Christian, I loved animals more than I loved humans before I became a Christian. Because humans, people hurt me so badly. But the one thing that changed when I became a Christian is I downscaled the value of animals, although I'm all good. But I came to value the human being because Jesus died for each and every one. The healing ministry is a ministry of love. I was at Pastor Tiense's church, Shofar Gardens, a few years ago. There was a lady that could hardly see anything. I spent quite a bit of time praying for her. She wasn't healed. But she told Pastor Tiense later, she's been prayed for many, many times. She said, I wasn't healed, but I've never felt as loved. Isn't that a win? Isn't that a win? I've never felt as loved as when I was prayed for. That is the win. Don't pursue the miracle. Pursue loving the person. Sympathy gives a crutch. Compassion presses into Jesus, deeper into the river of the Spirit to get someone's breakthrough. Let's have real compassion. So Jesus wanted to heal the whole person because he wanted to say, you're valuable. You are loved. You're precious. You're the lowest of the low in people's eyes, but not in God's eyes. The CEO and the guy on the street, in God's eyes, same thing. Same thing. Amen. So God wants to heal. God wants to heal hearts. Look at this, 3 John 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So your soul is prospering, but I want you to be in health as well, physically. You see, the Bible says we are three parts, soul, spirit, body. The Lord wants all three parts whole. All three parts, and they connected. Cancer in the soul could possibly lead to cancer in the body. Whatever it might look like. There's a connection between these things. Look at this. The American Institute of Health estimates that 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related problems. 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related problems. In other words, toxic thinking impacts our whole being. If you hate yourself, and if you're depressed and negative about everything, that will actually flow through to the rest of your being. Studies have found that your thoughts literally go down to DNA level. They found that heavy fear, like excessive fear, would send signals to your DNA that would cause your DNA to curl up and it can no longer produce the proteins as it should. Fascinating. It affects you on every level. So you need to fight this battle in your mind. You need to take back your thoughts. You need to get healthy thinking in your mind if you want to be healthy. So many physicians are treating symptoms and not the root. So you have all these pills. But they only treat the symptoms for a season. The Lord wants to set you free from the root issues. I've sat with people who are on antidepressants. And I would ask them, all right, when did it start? No, high school, grade 10, 11, 12. I had, for a few years, excessive fear and anxiety. So it started as a spiritual soul problem, but because it was so long, the duration of it, it moved into the physical body and the chemicals went out of whack. So now you have to get pills to get order. Do you see the link? There's a link from the soul, spirit, and body. So Jesus came to heal the whole man. Jesus didn't only go to the cross to pay for our sins. He went to the cross to pay for our diseases. He wasn't beaten for nothing. He didn't go through that hell for nothing. He went to win our freedom. So Jesus, the cross is the perfect remedy to the whole man. Jesus went to the cross, spirit, soul, and body, to redeem man, spirit, soul, and body. Therefore, the cross is the center of the plan of salvation for man, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus didn't just go as a spirit man. He went soul, spirit, and body to redeem your whole being. And so when we pray for people, we need to discern, Lord, where's the root? What is the root problem here? What's going on here? Is it spiritual? Is it soul? Is it trauma from the past? I often ask someone, okay, you've had this for so many years. What trauma happened in that time? What scare? What anxiety did you go through? What happened? If we deal with that, then we can move forward. So the one time I was in a meeting, and this one lady came to me, and she said to me, every time we start a worship, I feel like this coldness come upon my being. This coldness, like a darkness of like an evil spirit came upon her. And she asked me to pray for her, so now I started to pray for her. And at some point, the Lord said to me, she was raped. And then I was still praying, so I'm not going to tell her that now. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But then the Lord gave me a prophetic word. He said to her, what man did to you does not define you. I define you. When I said that, she broke down weeping and weeping and weeping, and she was set free. And then later she told me, I was raped. You see, the Holy Spirit took it right to the root. But instead of just highlighting the root, the prophetic word gave the solution. What man does to us does not define us. What man has done to you does not define you. What your parents did to you does not define you. Our Heavenly Father defines us. Amen. Let's say it. My Heavenly Father defines me. You are not a victim of your past. Oh, you're wonderful, wonderful audience. Yes. I love it. You're in it. Good. But this is so important because we become victims of our past. If only I wasn't raped. If only they didn't do that to me. If only my church leaders didn't abuse me. If only my dad was there and didn't leave us when I was 3 years old. Whatever. Your Heavenly Father is bigger than whatever. Amen. That's so important if you want freedom. Look at the Psalm 103, verse 2 to 3. It says there, and forget not all his benefits. Old Testament scripture. It says, forget not all his benefits. Forget not who he is. Forget not what he has done. And what does it say there? Then it says, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals every 30 years or so. Who heals all, say all your diseases. That's Old Testament. The New Covenant is better than the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the Lord says, I will forgive all your iniquity and I heal all your diseases. So imagine I bring, you meet someone, let's say a prostitute, who has done 1,000 different most horrible sins you can imagine. You lead this lady to Jesus. What are you going to tell her? Your sins are just so bad. I don't know if Jesus can forgive that. Who's going to say that? No. We're going to say, doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how deep into darkness you have been. Jesus died for all your sin. For all your stuff. He took your place. Amen. Wouldn't we say that? Definitely. So how about the next bit? Jesus died for all your sicknesses, for all your diseases, for all of your demonic torment, for all of your depression and your anxiety and your fear and every other thing that you might be battling. He died for all of it. And he wants to set you free. Amen. You see, we've built out this one truth about Jesus forgives sin, but we have not built out that Jesus heals diseases and sicknesses and whatever else. It's time to build out this truth unashamedly. My Jesus didn't go through that hell for nothing. Amen. So you can receive with boldness the word of God with boldness. So it says they forget not all his benefits. You know, so whenever I pray for someone, like with this lady I shared about last night, who had this trigeminal neuralgia, the suicide disease, like someone's taking a brick and hitting you in the face. For 5 years she had, couldn't smile, couldn't laugh, went through hell for 5 years. But when she came to me to pray for her, I'm always going back into the archives. Have I prayed for someone with the same condition that has been healed? Because it builds my faith and I build their faith. Forget not. So I told her good news. I prayed for a lady in Durban, had the same thing. Jesus healed her. Awesome. Jesus wants to heal her. I shared the story, prayed for her, and she was healed. Hallelujah. So you need to continuously, you're standing with someone, you're standing with someone, you're praying for someone, and you need to know, and they're telling you all of their stuff, and like, oh, it's too much, it's too difficult, too many issues. Look away from that and just focus on what Jesus has done. Get stories. I love what you guys are doing with the stories, the Shofar Durbanville stories. That is so powerful. These video testimonies. You need to fill your mind continuously. This is who Jesus is. He is the healer. He is the healer. Even if I pray for 20 people and nothing happens, I still know he is the healer. I know of a guy, a New Zealander. He prayed for 1,000 people. Nothing. No one got healed. He went to a Randy Clark conference. He got prayed for him. He prayed for him. Power of God hit him. He went to the floor, like 2 hours on the floor. When he got up from there, people were just getting healed as he were praying for them. He had a God encounter. He received an impartation. There's another lady from Kenya, divorced. She was standing at a Reinhard Bonnke crusade, 100,000 people at, I think, Uhuru Stadium. And she was standing at the back, and, you know, she wanted him to pray for her, but couldn't get to him, so many people. But, you know, she was rejected in her society because of the divorce, and everybody wrote her off. But she just knew God is saying, he needs to pray for me. He needs to pray for me. So for years, she was trying to get to wherever he might be. So then in the end, she found out he's going to be in Norway. So this African mama flies to Norway, whitest place on the planet. And in this little church, Reinhard preaches, Reinhard Bonnke evangelist, he preaches, and he does a random altar call, and she storms to the front. Because she wants him to pray for her. Reinhard shares this in one of his books. He said he prayed for her, the power of God hits her, she flies through the air, like 10 meters back, falls at the back of the church. She gets up after a few hours, I think. She goes back to Kenya. She starts meetings. 50 people come. 500 people come. 5,000. 50,000. Same stadium as Reinhard Bonnke. 150,000 people. She received an impartation. But she was hungry. God gives it to the hungry. He doesn't give it to the whatever. Gives it to the hungry. I'm hungry for more of Jesus. Not for me, for the sake of so many people that need more of Jesus. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? The Lord wants to stir that. Come on. Let's say it. I'm getting hungrier. Amen. Amen. Let it stir in your heart. Let it release faith in you. Don't look at your past. Don't look at what has been done or not been done. Just look at who Jesus says you are in him. Amen. So the Lord wants to heal our sins and our iniquities. So often our physical diseases are connected to spiritual things. Look at this, James 5:16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We normally focus on the second part. Pray for one another that you may be healed. But there's one bit before that. Confess your sin. Because it could be a block to healing. So many times we pray for, it happens so many times. Like, I mean, I've thinking about a few times in Brazil as well. Praying for a lady, she has arm problems and things. She gets 50% healed and it's not improving. And I said, so there is a healing anointing. I mean, she's getting healed. So now I'm asking, Lord, what is this? Why is she not getting healed? And I hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, she's angry with her husband. Sorry, all the wives in the place, we tend to make you angry. And I asked, is that so? And she says, yes, that's so. I lead her in a prayer of forgiveness. Next moment, healed. 100%. So many times this happens. Unforgiveness is a massive block to healing. Unforgiveness also leads to sickness in some cases. So one needs to, when you're praying for someone, you need to ask, what is the root? What is the root? What is the root cause of this thing? So sometimes it's in the soul. You need to forgive. You need to get rid of bitterness. Sometimes it's spiritual. Look at this. Matthew 10 verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So that Jesus gave his disciples authority over sicknesses, but also over spirits. So you're praying for someone. It happened to us a few times in India. You're praying for someone. They tell you, my left knee, a lot of pain. So now we start praying for the left knee. Next moment, it's now the right knee. What has happened there? Does pain tend to jump from the one knee to the other? No, it's a demonic spirit. So X said, hit your cut first. I got you. Now I know it's a spiritual route to the pain. So now I say, in the name of Jesus, go to hell. Get out. And then they set free and healed. The one time in Brazil, there was a young girl, 6 years old. She had cysts in her abdomen. She would put her fingers into her abdomen. She could feel the cysts. And I was praying for someone else. Some of our ladies were praying for her. And then I turned and I walked closer. As I walked closer, the Holy Spirit said to me, a spirit of fear is tormenting this child. As I came closer, I could feel the darkness. And she was, you could see on her face, she was tormented and she was not a happy child. When I said there's a spirit of fear, the mom started to cry. Because 3 years ago, when the child was 3 years old, there was an accident. She had a traumatic accident. And since then, she's been tormented by fear at night, especially. So the Lord reveals this to me. We say, in the name of Jesus, spirit of fear, be gone. And it went. Can you believe it? In the name of Jesus, the spirit goes. Her complexion changes. She smiles. She goes to her abdomen. She looks for the cysts and they're all gone. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. But so we need to learn to listen to the voice of God. The prophetic flow is so important. Eyes to see and ears to hear what God is doing. And then you can deal with those things. So sickness can have a spiritual source. Sickness can have a soul source. And sometimes sickness is just sickness. Or whatever it might be. It's an accident or whatever. So you need to be aware so you can get to the root and so you can deal with it. So when you're praying for someone, don't tell them, I see this. Just say, hey, I feel this. Is this, does it make sense to you? You know, and if it has no, then okay, sorry, just trying, testing, you know. Well, this is powerful. John G. Lake, 100,000 documented healings in 5 years in Spokane, Washington. He and his wife, Jenny, were a powerful team. So what would happen is the sick people would come in, and he would pray for those who were instantly healed, and they dismissed them. Those who were not healed, those who continued to suffer, or only partial healing, were sent to another room. Jenny, his wife, she would, by the Spirit, personally reveal to each one of them the hindrances of their healing. Upon hearing the inner secrets of their hearts, many would confess and ask God for forgiveness. Then John and Jenny would pray again and God would heal those who repented. Those who refused to repent, even after acknowledging the truth of what Mrs. Lake had told them, went home suffering in their affliction. Isn't that interesting? So there's this partnership. You know, I want to encourage you to pursue to hear the voice of God, to pursue God, show me, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear, that I can discern what is blocking the flow of healing in Jesus' name. Okay, so I really want to encourage you to pursue the prophetic. So the mountain, I shared this last night. It says, I felt the Lord say to me, if you want to move the mountain in front of you, you need to move the mountain on the inside of you, the lies in your head. So sometimes we feel, you know, as long as I sit with this condition myself, I can't praise God. As long as I have these issues in my life, I can't praise God. So I want to read this. I'm ending off with this. Psalm 103, verse 1 there. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's read this together. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So the psalmist is saying, the next bit is, "Who forgives all my iniquity, who heals all my diseases." But there's this thing about, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Everything within me, bless the Lord. What does it mean? That means Jesus is worthy of praise. No matter if He heals me today or if He's healing through me today, He is worthy of praise. I'm going to praise Him no matter what. Let's say it. I'm going to praise Him no matter what. So my wife and I, we've been trusting the Lord for almost 7 years for our second child. So we bought a house last year. We now have a baby room. Almost every day I'm sitting in that baby room in my chair, my prayer chair. We've even put the name of our child on the wall. And every day I would sit there and say, "Jesus, this is the baby room. And that is my child's name. Jesus, I speak this into being. Jesus, I rebuke barrenness and I release fruitfulness over us as a couple and over the church of Jesus Christ and over all of your people. Fruitfulness. I rebuke barrenness because I know all of my praying is unlocking more anointing. It's shifting things in the spirit. Is it tough? It is really tough. Every month my wife cries. Every month. And then I say, "I still believe. I still believe. I still believe. I would rather die believing than live in unbelief." Amen. I would rather die believing than live in unbelief. I want to be the man that God can trust and say, "Well, I'm looking for someone to do something." Yes, Andre is my man because he's willing to step out. He's willing to risk it. He's willing to look like a blooming fool, which I sometimes do. But I'm saying, "God, I'm going for the more." You see, you need to risk in public if you want the glory of God. But you need to cry out in private for more of Jesus. And so you must risk it. And if it doesn't work, you go back and you cry out for more. And then you step out again and you step out again and you step out again. So what can you do? I haven't seen the breakthrough yet. I'm just telling my wife we're going to have the biggest party East London has ever seen when my baby is born in Jesus' name. And if she's not born, I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to worship Jesus. But so many believers are telling the Lord, "Lord, if you don't do this, if you don't give me my husband, if you don't give me my wife, if you don't heal me, then my life's going to fall apart and I'm going to turn my back on you." I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I love Jesus too much. Every crisis you're going through is your opportunity to go deeper into Jesus. It will backfire on the devil. Amen. Amen. Come on. I want to release hope over you. We live with an eternal hope. Jesus lived for 33 years. He didn't have sex. Oh, sorry, man. He missed out. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. He lived a full life, and he glorified Christ, God, through his life. Don't allow, it's angelic tunes that has just come. Yes. I so want to encourage you, don't make an idol of things in your life and allow that to destroy your life. We live with an eternal hope. The day we enter heaven, no crying, perfectly healed. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to just encourage you to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Amen. Let's say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Do thanksgiving. Every opportunity of your life, do thanksgiving. Do you know what thanksgiving does? It helps you to take a step up to that next level. Or let me put it like this. If you want to go further into God, there's the staircase. Being thirsty for more is what draws you forward. But if you're not thankful for what you have and for where you are, you have nothing to stand on, so you can't take that next step up. So many people become so desperate for more of God, but lacking thanksgiving, that they become bitter and disillusioned. You have so much to be thankful for. So thank you, Jesus. Let's say, thank you, Jesus. Your name's written in the book of life. Your name's written in the book of life. And when you're thankful and then thirsty, you can go forward. Then you can go forward. So that's what God wants to do. Last story I want to share, and then we're gonna practice a little bit. Eh? We're going to practice in one another to hear his voice and to release healing. So we were in Brazil. It was the first day of this revival conference of the church of 6,000 people. So the first night was a training evening with 500 leaders. So now I'm preaching my heart out about healing. But I have decided I want to not just preach about it, I want to demonstrate it. So at the end of the evening, I'm thinking back, I think I was crazy. But I said, okay, we're going to call 5 people up. And we're going to demonstrate to you that Jesus heals on stage. So now I'm saying, who's sick? Half of the place, hands go up. And the Lord starts showing me different people. I call them forward. Another 6 person storms up as well. We couldn't stop her. She wanted to be healed. So now we have 6 people on stage. I asked my team to come and stand with them. So now we say in the name of Jesus, we first pray that the presence of God would come and the power of God begins to fall in a place and touching people. Next moment we start praying for them. I think we prayed for about 2 minutes. Just releasing the healing power of Jesus. 5 of the 6 went to the floor as like rivers of living waters just gushed over them. The one guy went down screaming as God was delivering him as well. Within 2 minutes, 5 of them were completely healed of 20 years of stuff. The 6th person, 10 minutes later, she was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So I met the one guy after, the one guy who went down screaming. He was sitting after and he was doing things with his legs and taking photos. I'm like, what are you doing? I couldn't do this for 20 years. I'm taking photos for my wife. It was awesome. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. He heals. He heals. It changes the game when we can demonstrate what the Bible says is true. Changes the game. That is what God wants us to do. He no longer wants us just to talk nice talk. He wants us to, now let me show you the power of God. Another beautiful story, a guy named Marcelo. He was a police officer in Rio de Janeiro. He went through a really tough life. One of the pastors who went to his hairdresser and told his hairdresser about all the stuff that's happening, all the miracles that's happening. And this guy said, I know a guy that needs prayer. He has pancreatic cancer. Went to the doctors. His skin is yellow. He's not a believer. We prayed for him and released healing power over him. And then he felt better. He felt stronger. And we prophesied over him that he's going to testify of the goodness of God. And I was in the back of my mind thinking, I hope he doesn't die. I hope he doesn't die. He went to the doctors. They did 5 biopsies. Couldn't find a trace of cancer. Amen. They say the doctors couldn't believe it. I like to confound doctors. Amen. Let's do that. Signs that make you wonder. Amen. Worship guys, you can come. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. Come on, let's trust God to move here tonight. I'm sharing these stories to build your faith. Let's say it. This is for me. Amen. Come on, let it stir on the inside of you. The next time something bad happens, what should you do? You phone your best friend. And you say, happy birthday to me. We've been teaching some of our guys this. So the one guy, he got fined for 500 rand for having an extra passenger in his car. New young believer. He phones me and he says, "Happy birthday to me! 500 rand fine. Yes!" Don't you just want to freak the devil out? Tire him out with your joy. Tire him out with your peace and your confidence. Nothing throws you. I want to do that. I'm the devil's worst nightmare, and you can be too. Do you know that? The Bible says, "For the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet." You are the devil's worst nightmare. Just change your perspective. Just change your perspective on things. Hallelujah. Let's practice. Say happy birthday to me. The next thing that happens this week, any challenge, don't expect a bad thing. We're expecting surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. But when a challenge comes, happy birthday to me. It is your ticket to glory. It's your ticket to glory. That difficult person at work, it's your ticket to glory. In Jesus' name, let's say it. It's my ticket to glory. You're going to get it. You're going to get it at some point. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your glory. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. Lord, give us your perspective on life. Father, give us your perspective on trials and tribulations. As your word says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you said, "It is my will, be healed." So, Father, right now we pray. We pray for our hearts. We pray for our minds. We pray for whatever we have been through. We declare we will not be disillusioned, because we're looking into the eyes of Jesus. And we're strengthened. We say, let the bride of Christ arise. Let the glory of God come. In Jesus' name. Last night we asked people to raise their hands, and we prayed for the fire of God on their hands. And the one lady shared with me, her hands were like on fire. Even like an hour later, we're still on fire. Thank you, God, that you are here. Thank you, God, that you are here right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just say, "Come, Holy Spirit." I really feel God wants to heal hearts here tonight. He wants to heal hearts from things that's happened in the past. If you feel maybe disillusioned, or there's an area of your past that there's still bitterness or anger, anything along those lines, something that's stealing your joy that's in your past, we want to pray with you. Anybody like that, just quickly raise your hand. You feel God, you want God to heal your heart. Anybody? Okay, yeah, there's a whole bunch of hands. Hallelujah. Can I ask you just quickly come forward that we can pray with you? I just feel God wants to touch you. He wants to touch your hearts here tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to trust the Lord for healing in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's close our eyes and let's just open our hands before the Lord. Just to receive. If you want to, you can raise your hands, but just whatever, just an attitude of receiving from Him. I want to pray tonight that the Lord will immunize us from disillusionment, immunize us from losing hope. For some of us, our hopelessness is a bigger problem than the problem. Our hopelessness is a bigger problem than the problem. Deal with the hopelessness and your problem can move. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for a release of hope over every area of our lives, every area of our hearts where we've been wounded, disappointed, any area where we've given up. Father, right now we ask for your Holy Spirit, an apostolic anointing to come upon our hearts, that we would flourish in the midst of opposition. Flourish because of opposition. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for that mindset that says that whatever is coming against me will be for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for that attitude, that nothing can steal our joy, our peace, our hope. Because we know who our God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, thank you that you are bigger, stronger than any challenge I face. You are good. And you are for me. Lord, I believe that you are good and you are powerful. Lord, right now, I ask for grace upon my heart to flourish in the midst of trials and challenges. Lord, I take back my joy. I take back my peace. I take back my hope. In Jesus' name. And I choose to forgive from the heart those who has disappointed me. Right now I forgive. And I look into the eyes of my Savior. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment and forgive. If you need to forgive someone, even if you just feel that you might be disillusioned with God, Lord, why this? Just say, God, forgive me for doubting your goodness. Forgive me for doubting who you are for me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Going to focus on the Lord for a moment now, and then we're going to pray for some people. Just allow Him to work in your heart. Allow Him to work in your heart. Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are the healer, and you are here right now. Jesus, you are the Savior, and you are here right now. Jesus, you are the deliverer, and you are here right now. You are the healer of broken hearts. Lord, right now we release healing over hearts, healing over minds, and healing to bodies. We welcome the anointing of the living God. Rivers of living waters. Rivers of living waters. In Jesus' name. Just turn your heart to Him right now. Turn your heart to His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for an impartation of the prophetic flow to see and to hear His voice. So if you want God just to open your ears to hear His voice and your eyes to see what He is seeing, would you just raise your hand just for a moment? Just want to pray for this, because we're going to pray for one another in a moment. I'm trusting for a flow of the prophetic, that we can prophesy over one another, release the word of God over one another, see into the Spirit. Father, right now, Lord, you said you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And they will have visions and they will have dreams. Father, right now, we ask for a release of the spirit of prophecy. We want to hear your voice, Lord. You say your sheep hear your voice. We silence the noise of this world. And oh God, we pray right now for our ears to hear, eyes to see, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. God, right now, pour out your Spirit upon us, God. Eyes to see, ears to hear. Right now, Lord, may we tune in onto your frequency, that we may hear your voice. God, thank you that you are always speaking to us. Always speaking. We must just tune in. Just declare, say, I hear the voice of God. Say it again, I hear the voice of God. Just activate your faith, activate your faith. Sometimes hearing his voice is just a subtle whisper or a gentle picture in your imagination. I quickly want to show you where the Lord often speaks. Close your eyes and see in your mind's eye a pink elephant. Are you seeing a pink elephant? That is the canvas of your imagination. The pink elephant is not a word from the Lord, but that is often where the Lord speaks, just a gentle picture. Father, right now we release visions. Visions, God. Visions. In Jesus' name, we release the spirit of prophecy over our hearts and minds, Lord, that we may see what you are seeing. That we may hear your voice of for who we are in you. And who each and every one in this place is. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now we release an anointing on our imagination to have visions, dreams, words. Lord, right now we release the love of Jesus Christ. I just sense the Father God wants to put you on his lap as his beautiful child, and he wants to tell you how much he loves you. He wants to tell you who you are. About a year ago, the Lord asked me this question. He asked me, Andre, do you have any idea who you are? Obviously, I didn't. The Lord said, you're my son. You're my son. Let the Lord impart identity to you. Thank you, Father. Right now, Lord, awaken our spirit senses. Awaken our spirit senses. In Jesus' name. Lord, right now we step into the river of the Spirit. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Okay, so I want to ask for the people standing in the front, can we have someone to come and stand with them? A lady with a lady, a guy with a guy to pray with them? Are they ministry facilitators? Like just come stand with them. We're gonna trust the Lord for words of prophecy now. We're gonna trust the Lord to speak his truth, his life, his blessing. Don't pray yet. Just wait. Then I want to ask anybody in the house here that has any form of sickness or disease in your body, just quickly raise your hand. Okay. Keep your hand raised until someone comes to you. The rest of us, go stand with that person. Preferably guys with guys, ladies with ladies. Come on. Everybody's going to pray for someone tonight. We're going to trust the Lord for words. We're going to trust the Lord. Come on. Don't keep your hand raised until there's someone with you. Keep your hand raised. Come on, the rest of you. You are a saint. You are powerful in Jesus. If you're not praying for someone, go find someone with a hand raised. If you can't pray for someone here, you will probably never pray for someone outside of this place. Come on, a few people around, every person whose hand is raised. If there's no one with you, keep your hand raised. The people here in the front, just come a little bit forward. Please walk forward, walk forward. Make some space, make space. Thank you. Come on, there's no pressure. There's no pressure. Just do it. Okay, there's someone. Everybody got someone here? Okay, just don't go away. Just keep standing. Someone over there. We need a lady over there. Another few ladies over here. Need another 3 or 4 ladies. Come on. Okay, now I want you to quickly take out your phone and find the audio recording function. This is how we roll at our church. If you don't have a phone, okay, I forgive you. Find the audio recording function, and the ladies, just ask a man to help you if you don't know where that is. That's a joke, it's a joke, it's a joke, forgive me. We're going to trust the Lord to prophesy over one another. We're going to trust the Lord. Those who with any form of disease or sickness, we're going to trust the Lord for words for them and to release healing over them. But I want you to trust God to see them as He sees them. Even if you just see a picture in your mind's eye, sometimes it just starts with a little picture. You say, I see this. And then sometimes it builds on that. And you just say what you feel. I feel this. I see this. They must go test it. If they don't agree with it, they don't like it, then don't receive it. But we're going to share something encouraging about how God sees them. Could just be a scripture, anything like that. Hallelujah. Okay, you got your phones. Okay, so I don't want you to pray yet. I want one of you. Or both of you can. I'm going to ask you to be, we're going to be quiet for a minute. And I want you, the band can continue. Okay, so close your eyes. We're going to trust the Lord right now to speak. To give you a word. A vision. A picture. A scripture. Just something. Something, and then you can. Okay, so Father, right now we release words of prophecy. We release visions. Lord, right now we want to hear your voice for one another. You are a child of God. You can hear his voice. Okay, so I'm going to give a minute or so. Just listen. Just listen. Don't pray yet. Just hear the heart of the Father. It all begins with a prophetic word. I just see rain. I see the Lord raining His Spirit upon this place. Soothing, healing, restoring rain. Just let Him rain upon you right now. We release healing to identities, healing to hearts, healing to bodies. If you received an impression or a word, just quickly raise your hand. If you received a picture. Amen. Cool. Many hands. Awesome. Awesome. Father, more in Jesus' name. Okay, share the words with the other person, recorded on the phone, and then just pray for them and trust God for more words. Pray blessing over them. Trust the Lord for more. Trust the Lord for a flow of prophetic words. If there's anybody else that needs prayer for specific things, just come forward. And if we can have some ministry team people to pray with us. for them. That would be awesome. Thank you.